I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids, we all have families we want to take care of, and I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic, it's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So, you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock. Fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera, so whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. The Success Story podcast is part of the HubSpot Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. The HubSpot Podcast Network has incredible podcasts like My First Million. My First Million is hosted by Sam Parr and Sean Puri. They feature famous guests. They discuss how companies made their first million and then some. They brainstorm new business ideas based on the hottest trends and opportunities in the marketplace. Here are some of the topics they talk about. If you like any of these, you will love the show. Three profitable business ideas that you should start in 2022. Drunk business ideas that could make you millions. Asking the founder of Grammarly how he built a $13 billion company, or SaaS companies that anybody can start. If these topics are up your alley, go check out My First Million. Listen to it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today, my guest is Luke Lentz. He is the founder and CEO of High Key Enterprises. He's a serial entrepreneur. He stepped out of an economics class at 16 to start his first e-commerce business. 90 days later, he sold his entire inventory at a 375% ROI. He'll walk you through exactly what he did, and he'll also walk you through some of the lessons that he learned and some of the things that didn't go so well when he first got into dropshipping and entrepreneurship. Now he's built High Key Enterprises from the ground up. What they focus on is they focus on helping people build their personal brand, also helping businesses build their personal brand online. Some of the strategies that he's used for his clients, he's used on himself, which is what's so incredible, because how many people talk about being a great social media agency or a personal brand building agency or whatnot, and they can't even do it for their own accounts. But he's amassed a following over 1 million on his own social media accounts. He's worked with and partnered with some of the largest celebrities in the world, including 21 Savage, Cardi B, 6ix9ine. What do we go into? Okay, so we spoke about his origin story, going into dropshipping very early on, some of the wins and the losses and the highs and the lows that he learned getting into entrepreneurship at a very, very young age. We spoke about building a digital agency from the ground up, how he differentiates High Key, because the space in digital agency is so noisy. There's 1,000,001 digital agencies that you're competing with if you try and start one. We spoke about personal brand, how he built his personal brand, how he builds brands for businesses and for clients without spending money on ads. We spoke about the three key elements of personal brand. We spoke about niching down at the beginning of your business journey and the importance of niching down. We spoke about how to get press publications. We spoke about the importance of money, connections, relationships, and how that all ties in to your personal branding, press strategy. We spoke about the win-win-win formula tied to social media giveaways and some of the celebrities and influencers that he works with. We spoke about his foray into crypto, decentralized social media, or DeSo, and how he's bringing Web3 into a traditional marketing environment to create an incredible community. And then lastly, we spoke about some of the lessons that he's learned building a business, which are just great entrepreneurial lessons, but also he's done it with his two brothers. And that adds a whole other level of complexity. So he spoke about building the business with his brothers and some of the positives and negatives that you get when you build business with family. So let's jump right into it. This is Luke Lintz. He is the founder and CEO of High Key Enterprises.
Born and raised in Winnipeg, 20 years there.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Canadian boy from Winnipeg. So what's the first version of, because right now you do a lot of stuff. You were throwing a party last Friday. You started an NFT project. You built your own. So I don't want to call it marketing agency. I don't know what you actually call what you do. It's an agency of some sort. You're doing stuff, but what did you start with? Like, how did you get into building your own business? How did you get into working with your brothers? All that.
Yeah, so I was in grade 10 at high school.
Okay.
And I started with an e-commerce company called High Key Technology. And so we sold wireless earbuds before any other wireless earbud company. AirPods weren't out, Samsung Galaxy Gear Icon, none of them. We basically like thought of the idea of wireless earbuds because we were gym bros and we were like, damn, we hate when the cords get ripped out. And so like we had that problem and so we were finding the solution. So we found wireless earbuds on Alibaba, only one pair of wireless earbuds at the time, purchased them, did a bulk order, figured out a name, High Key, slapped our logo on a bulk order of like 100 of them, and then just started selling them through Instagram, through like different types of content, like marketing. We had no idea what we were doing. I was in grade 10 of high school. My brother was in his first year of university, my older brother, first year of university in business. And so we had no idea what we were doing. We were just testing different stuff. It just like, we got really lucky because we had a winning product just right off the bat and we struck gold and we made $60,000 in sales in the first like 4 months.
You had no idea what you're doing.
No idea. Yeah, $60,000, and like we were doing
Shopify shit.
Like, yeah, Shopify. Straight. Okay. Built a Shopify store with just wireless earbuds on them, and it like it kind of hit, and so we were like, wow, we could run this up, and so we just kept doing more marketing, kept testing what was working. We were doing mainly like Instagram meme pages. So we were making content of ourselves with like product placing the earbuds in it, and then posting that content on meme pages, like Instagram pages with like million plus followers. And then we got to a point where we ran up the business to 7 figures in sales. With knowing nothing. And so,
and was it just, did you hire out, or was this just like you and your brothers and you're just managing this dropshipping store? You found some meme accounts, you're throwing stuff up on there and you're selling. So 7 figures, a lot of volume for like not having anybody, right? Just pure dropshipping. So that must have been like customer service headache sometimes and shit like that.
It was myself, my older brother, and then one other business partner that we had at the time. And our other business partner handled all the customer service, so all the emails and stuff. I taught myself video editing and graphic design, so I used Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, edited all the content because we were like, our entire source of income was through content marketing, only thing. We didn't run any direct advertising. It was like just through content on Instagram. We grew to 7 figures, just content on Instagram back in 2016, 2017. Yeah, and then... oh my God, dude, we made some crazy mistakes with that business, like wild mistakes. Like,
So why did you kill that business?
Yeah.
Because everyone who's listening is like, oh, that's going great. Like these kids kind of got a little lucky, probably a little less lucky over time because you start to figure shit out. You start to learn and whatnot. So at some point, I'm sure you figured out like what content resonates, how to run a proper store. Like you know how to scale it now. Scaled 7 figures. Congratulations. That's a lot more what I was doing in high school. So why did you kill it?
Yeah. So we were doing really good. We brought on consulting. Like we started bringing on like really good people in the industry at Facebook ads, and they were consulting us about how to create a better website and everything. And everything was scaling up. But then we made a major error where we had wireless earbuds that was making 7 figures in revenue. Unbelievable product. And it was because it was winning, because it was before Apple AirPods, Samsung Galaxy, like, and everybody wanted wireless earbuds. And so we didn't really draw that correlation because now we were hitting a time where Apple AirPods just came out and huge buzz went around that in the entire wireless earbuds game and brought traction away from us. So there was that component of things. And then there was also the component of things where we were always long-term thinkers. And so we were thinking of, this could be a very long-term brand, but we need to to branch out just from wireless earbuds, so people don't see us as just a wireless earbuds brand.
Hey, diversify.
Exactly. And then so we created a few other products. We created a really cool portable speaker that was so dope. The quality was off the charts, and we paid like it was like wholesale, us buying in bulk, $40 per speaker.
Still doing drop shipping at this point.
Not doing drop shipping anymore, and we'll get into that. And then so we bulk ordered backpacks, charging backpacks that we completely designed. I fully designed them. Like I taught myself design work and how I communicate with the supplier's design. We went through 7 prototypes and we brought it to a charging backpack, and this thing was sick. Like I loved repping it, and we have these backpacks to this day. And we basically were so involved in this backpack and so committed to it because of how much time we spent to it. We didn't do any product market research. So we didn't like test the product at all in the marketplace.
How much money did you spend on
these? Dude,
I see where this is going, and it's like, it sounds like it was a fucking nightmare.
I've explained this story so many times, and like, it hurts me every single time, because like, if we just had a business mentor at the time and we asked them like one simple question, it would have all been avoided. Yeah. But we didn't have anybody at the time. And so what it was is basically we were coming up on Christmas time, which was our biggest year. Biggest time of the year. We would make 60% of our entire yearly sales in Black Friday to Cyber Monday. Yeah. And so we were coming up on Christmas time, and we were like, listen, we need to make sure we have enough inventory so that we don't sell out. And so it was our greedy mind talking, being like, we don't want to sell out so we can maximize our sales. When in reality, looking back, we should have just sold out and it would have been sick. It would have created more demand. And so I was doing calculations, like kind of like out of nowhere, like a thin air, because I had no business like knowledge in terms of like doing like research, estimating how much we would need in terms of like at that particular time. And so we bought 2,000 backpacks because like that was the minimum order quantity they gave us, because it was like a prototype, and we took a loan for it because our cash flow wasn't at the time. Yeah. And so we took a loan from our dad, actually. And dude, it was really bad. It was really bad. We went into Christmas time, sold only 100 backpacks, which was like still pretty good. Like 100 backpacks being sold.
It would have been good if you didn't have 2,000.
It would have been good if we didn't have 2,000. And then it just kept downward spiraling into more errors. Basically, we bought the 2,000 backpacks. We didn't account for freight in shipping, which is the shipping from China. Bulk inventory of 2,000 to the US turned out to be like $50,000 of shipping costs. Didn't account for freight out shipping, which is shipping from the US to each individual customer, which was like $20 per backpack.
Yeah.
We lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on that one backpack mistake. And yeah.
But most people, okay, say, yes, that sucks. I think that, yeah, of course, a business mentor or somebody who would have sort of pointed you in the right direction. Like, there's like 20 red flags that even if you were just telling me the story before you did it, I'd be like, well, check this, and check that. But, okay, so that's fine. But you still, now you're in the hole, but you still had a winning formula. So it's not like the first iteration of your e-com store didn't work. Like, it was working. So why didn't you go back to that model? Like, how did you deal with this $100,000+ in debt?
Yeah, so it's amazing that you brought that up, because it was the aspect of us having a winning model. And so basically, after us being in debt and looking like basically like outside and being like, how do we get out of the hole here? What it was is that we weren't necessarily good at drop shipping. We weren't necessarily good at like selling products, but what we knew we were for sure good at is bringing in revenue and building a brand, because like that's how all of our sales came in, was through content marketing, building a brand on Instagram, building a brand on social media, and then marketing. And so what we decided was it was during the summer of 2018, where we were like, let's turn this into a marketing agency.
Okay.
And build a marketing agency, start selling services to other product-based businesses and brands. And so we were thinking about that. And then the only other thing was like, how do we get customers for that?
That makes sense. Okay, so I want to just, before you go into that, because that's sort of like the first version of what you were doing pre-NFTs, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just a point. Any lessons from taking money from your parents? Because I'm just curious what the dynamic was at that point in your family.
Dude, never, never, ever, ever, ever take money from your parents. Like
that was stressful.
Oh, dude, we were living with our dad at the time. I was living with my dad, and like I've never been inherently good at communicating with people, especially people who are close to me. Mm-hmm. Something that I struggled with always, especially about like very stressful matters. And so we were living with our dad. I wasn't communicating with him with how our business was actually doing, and like that we were like big time in the hole, and I owed money to him. And I was trying to figure out a way that wasn't a proven way to get out of the hole. And so like, there were so many dynamics that was by far the most stressful time in my entire life.
So obviously it's tough starting a business when you're not in a good mental space either, because already you're coming from like a very stressed out place. So every decision you're making in the back of your mind, you're only thinking like, how the fuck do I repay my dad? Like, how the fuck do I repay my dad? So you figured it out though, obviously. So what was the first version? What was the first version of the marketing agency? How did you, because that's something that you've never done either.
Yeah. So the first version was me just bringing it up to my brother, bringing up the idea of it. And it was just at the idea stage for like about 3 months, where like it was tossing around the idea, being like, I think that this could be a way that we could make it back, and like that we could actually grow something huge from this. But us not having a plan there at all, because we've never done that. And then it just so happened that we were out for lunch one day with our mom, myself and my two brothers. And there's this person right behind us in our hometown in Winnipeg. And he's talking about real estate. And he's just talking with his business partner across the table, talking about just bashing his current marketing team, being like, this is horrible. The content is horrible. I've been spending so much of my own time on this. And my mom overheard that. When he walks up to leave the room, my mom says, excuse me, sir, I heard that you were talking about marketing. And then he's like, yes, I was. And then my mom's like, my sons are actually unbelievable marketers. And she knew, because we talked with our mom about like us wanting to
how you made money with the e-commerce company and how you were working with like Instagram accounts.
And possibly getting into an agency space. She had that in the back of her mind. And then his name was Stefan Arnio, and he leaned down at us and he's like, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 18. And he's like, how old are you? To my older brother. And he's like, I'm 21. He's like, perfect. He writes down his number on a postcard. He hands it to me. He's like, give me a call here. And he gave me an exact time. It was like, give me a call at 4 p.m CST and woo me. That's what he said. And then he left. That's all he said. And he wrote down his name and number. And so afterwards, we were like, whoa, what? Like, we searched him up on social media and he looked like a complete scam. He had he had an Instagram page, said real estate in the bio. And then like he had pictures of like pizza and like just like girls that he was with, like random stuff. And we're like, this is for sure a scam. On Google, there was nothing. And so I gave him a call and I'm like, we want to set up an in-person meeting. And so we set up an in-person meeting. We went to his office and we were at the office and he had an entire team and we were like, wow, this could be real.
So what did you do for him? That was your first client,
yeah,
I'm assuming?
Yeah. I set up a huge proposal, massive proposal. We said we would take over everything, every single social media platform, all content. I would film it, edit it myself. I would do everything. And it was $5,000 a month. And he's like, listen, guys, I'll give you a try for 2 months. He's like, if it does well, then we'll keep going. Over 2 months, we crushed it, literally absolutely slammed it. Like he got 10,000 followers on Instagram naturally just by the type of content we were getting him to film. We were making him go way outside of his comfort zone doing viral content. And then after 2 months, he paid us $10,000 and he was right with his word. And then he's like, I want to partner with you guys. And I want to bring all of my clients who are high level. He was a real estate investing coach. And so he had a ton of real estate investors. And so he was able to bring that to us.
And you just copied and pasted that playbook, like that content marketing playbook. Because you're like, I think that people are used to that kind of style of content now. Like, you have to put yourself out there and whatnot. You have to be creating viral stuff. You have to be going on video and whatnot. So probably the stuff you're doing when you started working with him. But a lot of agencies were not forward thinking in their marketing. And they kind of just sucked, especially people in the real estate industry, super legacy. So you were sort of modernizing them and bringing them up to speed with how like marketing should be and how now businesses try and act on social.
Exactly. Like, there's so much content going out on a 100%. Daily basis, like every single second, the amount of content that's going on. So you really have to do some creative stuff to like set yourself apart.
Okay. So you started building that agency out. Was that Hikey? Was that?
So we had Hikey Technology, which was the e-commerce company. And then we were like, let's just keep rolling with the Hikey brand. So we separated into Hikey Agency. which was specifically social media management for clients.
Okay, cool.
And so we partnered with Stefan Arnio on that, and we partnered up, and then he sent us like a few clients right off the bat, and then things just started rolling after that.
So you started getting more clients, still social media agency work at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All social media management, like awesome. Doing management on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and then TikTok when it started coming around, in YouTube.
But that's still hard to scale with just – how many people are you working with right now?
So, dude, right after we signed our second client on High Key Agency, that's when we hired our first ever employee. And so, he was a good employee that hired, and he came into the business and treated it like it was his own for a while.
And just a question on that, like when you started doing this, what was the strategy that you actually used for social back then? Is it still applicable now, or has shit changed?
Yeah, stuff's definitely changed, but like the main stuff is just like capturing the attention of a user. So like it never really changes inherently. It just like changes platforms and then different platforms.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform: accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win: efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com. joinmeonline.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real, there are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.
Platforms are used for different things, and then that'll always keep changing. And so, like, there's things with every single platform, like YouTube. Like, you have about like 5 to 10 seconds to hook the audience. Your thumbnail needs to be absolutely amazing, eye-catching, needs to relate to the content. The title, it's very SEO based, and so the title and the description needs to be good for like SEO optimization for people to search it. Instagram is like very fast paced. IG Reels are unreal. It's still picture based, so it's still like,
so you got to hook pictures, people in and whatnot, yeah, and get people. Well, it's also because, like, I've noticed it, and you probably know this because you're in social, but, and we were talking outside about like my content strategy, and just, and then I'm sitting down with you, I'm like, fuck, this guy knows. I'm just telling him my content strategy. He's like, yeah, okay, all right, let's move on. Like, I already know the shit. But no, for all the new features that like platforms launch, like they give massive organic reach too.
Yeah.
So you can nail, like we were talking and I was like, oh, I got to figure out like YouTube Shorts and Snapchat Spotlights and Reels, and because they give massive organic reach, which is half the reason why it's so damn hard to grow on Instagram now, because your organic reach when you're starting a brand new account is like nothing,
big time.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, and that's why I wish I went a bit harder on TikTok when it was like really popping, and it's still popping right now, but it's like, yeah, steadily decreasing, like it is with everything as more content gets published on the platform,
creators come onto it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but like those types of things are unbelievable to capitalize on, and that's like how we started our first business with the e-commerce space. Yeah. Is we capitalized on Instagram because the natural engagement was unreal. We had 10,000. I was just showing my buddies the other night, it's like we scrolled all the way down the @HighKeyCo Instagram feed, and we had like 10 to like 20,000 Instagram followers at the time, gained like 2 million view videos on our Instagram account, exactly like TikTok is now.
Yeah.
And with like our own faces, and so like we have so many followers on that account that like were with us since the OG days of like watching us like progress to this.
But point. You also like, I know you go onto new platforms because I saw like, I saw you on BitCloud.
Yeah.
So you jump onto new social and shit and you're like, you're trying to figure that out. Like you're still obviously like very much with it and you're still trying to, but you don't do you still do like the day-to-day social management for agencies?
No. I exited that quickly. Why? Very quickly.
Why?
Because I want to, I've always wanted to get to a point of like scaling a business. And so like,
it's hard to scale.
Yeah. Very hard to scale. And so like, I actually realized a huge talent of mine is like, I'm really good at hiring people. Really good. I'm really good at seeing like value propositions in people that like are like their skill sets, even if they don't see it in themselves. And so I found that like after I hired our first three employees at Highkey Agency, I'm like, I'm better than this even at social media management. So I just need to find people that are better than me at social media management. And we have that now. Like I have an unbelievable team of social media managers better than me. And like I get on our weekly calls. We have two times a week about all of our social media management clients, and they bring up ideas that I couldn't even think about on for, yeah. for different.
By the way, I actually didn't mean like, do you specifically still do the work for people? Yeah. I meant like, are you still in the like the content creation game? Because I know that you do other yeah. stuff now. Because now you work with like celebrities and influencers. You do some sort of like giveaway thing as well.
Yeah,
and I think you do PR as well. Because you do like a whole gamut of shit now.
Yeah. Content is a forever game. Okay. Yeah, I always want to be in the content, and so like I go through like. And I want to get to a point of being consistent, but like I go through like bits and periods of yeah. like doing more content than normal. Like my Instagram page is like, I don't really post that much business stuff on like my main feed. I just like keeping it like looking cool.
Yeah.
And then I make videos every once in a while for a business account, Highkey Agency. And then we fly to every single celebrity, practically every single celebrity that we film like our giveaway collaborations with. And that's content that goes up on Highkey cool. Clout. Uh-huh.
Okay, so I want to understand how you work with celebrities. And then I also want to understand how you built your personal brand, because I'm sure. assuming what you do for your clients, that like you just take the playbook that's worked for yeah. you, and then you're using it on your clients too.
Yeah.
So what is the celebrity play? What is the giveaway play? How does that work? Why do you go into that? Because that's something that I've seen some people do, but I don't quite understand it from like a marketing perspective. And yeah, like walk through that piece.
This is cool. We're like literally going through like the timeline yeah, of like everything.
I find it interesting yeah. because like what I'm trying to do is like you've done a couple of businesses. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out like why you've gone into each one, how you've made it successful, and sort of like lessons to pull out of that particular business. Because I know people that are going to be listening to this that are trying to start like a social agency. So like from day one, like what are things you want to get into? Well, you're trying to hire the right people. You're trying to figure out how to scale yourself. Like don't do all the work yourself. Maybe try and find retainer clients. It's another thing you mentioned. As opposed to people that just go into like freelancing work and they just literally want to start a business, but they just started another job, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I like pulling out the different stages, because you've done so many different things, and then we'll eventually get to NFTs and all that shit.
So the biggest thing of starting up an agency for me is, and I think for everybody who's starting up an agency, is having an all-star client. So having a client that you can show all other potential clients. And so what we did is the person we partnered up with, Stefan Arnio, we used him as our all-star client. So we over-delivered so much on his services. Like even though he was a partner, he was still paying for services for his personal, but he was paying like $7,000 a month for us handling everything, which is like really, really cheap when you get into like where if he had in-house people, he would need minimum like three in-house people to handle all of his stuff, yeah. like content on every single social media platform, scripting, management, all of that, outreach, all of that. And so we just way over-delivered on his stuff. And every client who we got on the phone with, which was mainly in the real estate space, is we would send them his profile and we'd be like, do you want your page to look like this? And it was always like, yes.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing rebuttal was like price.
Yeah.
And then I just had to convey the value and the price to them. Okay. And so that was the main thing, is setting up the all-star client. But then we got to a stage where we were growing him so much, and our personals were at like 1,000 followers, no content on it. And I was getting rebuttals on sales calls being like, if you believe in this so much, why aren't you doing this for yourself?
Yeah.
And it was like a switch in my yeah. head. And I'm like, whoa. And practically since that time, and since that like idea, and like that brain switch, is like every single service we have ever sold since then, we've tested on ourselves beforehand.
Okay.
And so that's when we started working on our personal brands, which come back to working with our personal brands, is we started working on our personal brands with growth management content. And so like we were practicing what we were preaching, basically.
Okay, cool. So you started building up your personal brand. You're practicing what you preach. That's a smart sales strategy, of course. But and that's funny because not a lot of people actually focus on that. Yeah. You see people that like sell very expensive. 7K for all inclusive is like cheap. Like you can do like 10, 20. I've worked with agencies that are upwards of 50K for some like super extensive marketing plans. So 7K is relatively cheap. But if you don't, you know, if you look at an agency and you're like, yo, we're going to run your social, and they have like 200 followers on their Instagram, you're like, really, what can you do for me? Why haven't you done it for yourself? Anyways, okay, so the whole celebrity giveaway thing, what is that? How the hell did you think of this particular business model? Because that's not something you copied and pasted from like just like another agency.
Yeah. So after we ran the agency for a bit, it was self-sustaining, really good. We
hired out teams.
We had about six employees at the time, about 10 contractors that were pretty much full-time working on like all of our clients. We were bringing in all on monthly retainers, the clients. And so we were bringing in revenue and we didn't have to worry about money anymore practically. We still had the loan that we had to pay off, which was still a burden, but like we knew we were on the track to finally getting there, and stuff started being in that upward spiral instead of the downward spiral. And we got connected with other people in the industry that we've been connected with like all the way through even the e-commerce days of when we were selling like products. And these one guys were doing these giveaways. They were doing very, very small giveaways, like 10,000 follower giveaways, 5,000 follower giveaways with people like Supreme Patty, like really, really like mid-level influencers. And we were like, interesting, because a lot of our clients are having the problem that Instagram engagement levels are inherently going down.
Yeah.
Natural following is going down, even though that they still have to be putting out content. And so like a constant concern of them. And they were like, we had a few clients that were like, we're leaving unless you guys can get us followers.
Because you were so good at it, it almost like bit you in the ass. Because then as Instagram, and there's more creators on Instagram, reach is going down. So even though you're operating at the same level, people are like, I'm not getting the results that I saw a year and a half ago. So like figure it out.
Yeah. And it's really hard if you're doing a service-based business to be charging people the same price with them getting like slightly less results. Like they're trying to like constantly scale, and it's hard to scale against like a decreasing platform.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were handling with Instagram. And so that's when we found out about giveaways.
Okay.
Where like it was practically the only way to grow scalable growth on Instagram.
Significant growth.
Within Instagram's terms of service. People obviously know you can go on panels on Google and like buy 10,000 fake followers.
That's bullshit.
It would destroy your Instagram account, and like Instagram accounts get disabled all the time from this. But these loop giveaways, they're like called like loop giveaways. Basically, a celebrity or influencer promotes a giveaway. They say, guys, I'm giving out like cash, or I'm giving out this car. And they actually give away those prizes. And then they say, all you have to do to enter is go over to this Instagram account and follow everybody that they're following. And so they go over to a host account, which like when we first started like in the giveaway space, there were no host account. Like people had no brand associated with it. And it was like miscellaneous pages, like just being like a random giveaway 111, like go enter this and follow everybody that they follow. And it looked sketchy. But it got the job done, and it got 10,000 followers for our clients, and they were more than happy. They stayed with us, and then they started paying for the giveaways. And what we realized is we could start reselling these people who are already running these giveaways. We could resell spots for them and like create a whole new revenue stream other than just the social media management that we're doing. And so we started reselling giveaways, and like they were going like very fast.
But the secret in this is like actually getting the celebrity on board, because for sure I can sell somebody like, oh, I'll get you 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 followers. That's not a hard sell.
Yeah.
But like, how do you get like a, I don't know, like a Tiger or something like that? Like, how do you get somebody like that?
So before, when we were first getting going, there was no celebrities in this. It was only like influencers. So it was mid-level influencers. And they were getting paid like $5,000, $10,000 to do a giveaway, which was easy for them. The pitch was, hey, do you want $5,000 to $10,000 for one Instagram post that you leave up for 7 days, and you're giving away stuff to your audience? And they're like, it's a no no-brainer, yes. And so like that was an easy pitch for mid-level influencers. But then once we started selling like 20 sponsorship spots to giveaway, and we were like, yo, we could run these giveaways ourselves and do exactly what we do best, which is brand these giveaways. And so we started up an Instagram channel called @HighKeyClout, which was our giveaway channel. Okay. We pegged that as our giveaway channel. We called it High Key Clout because High Key, our main name, and then Clout because people were able to get clout in the easiest way possible by sponsoring our giveaways. And so we ran our first giveaway, and we were like, let's do this like out of the water. Let's run this like crazy. And we put together 10 influencers, where it was never like really done before. There was like a couple of really big giveaways before, but we put together 10 influencers and we ran a massive giveaway. They gave away like $20,000 and it was huge. Like Bad Baby was a part of it, and we just got connected them through our past connections, and we paid a ton of money, but we also made a ton of money. We paid out like $150,000 to all the like mid-tier influencers, yeah, and then made about $100,000 profit from like the giveaway sponsorships.
That's
not bad.
And then that's how people are actually, that's how somebody can actually grow, because then you get like massive influxes of real people because you're getting exposure across somebody's 5 million, 10 million person audience.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Yeah. And so after we did that first giveaway, we had a fair amount of capital from that and our agency, and we were able to start making some huge pitches. So we made pitches to everybody we possibly could. We started doing outreach campaigns to managers that we were connected with, and it just was an upwards snowball.
Like
we did giveaways with Kevin Hart, Snoop Dogg, DaBaby, Lil Baby, Bella Thorne, and it's an unbelievable business model because everybody wins in it. And we also gained these connections with these A-list celebrities.
I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, HubSpot. Now, as a leader, you're always on the lookout for more ways to arm yourself with knowledge. The books, the seminars, and most importantly, the podcasts that help you make the best possible decision for you, your company, your customers. Because when you know more, you can apply more and you can grow. With HubSpot's CRM platform, you can store, track, manage, and report on all the tasks and activities that make up your relationships with customers. With a bird's eye view over all your customer interactions, HubSpot empowers your decision-making like never before, so you can give your business and your customers all the good you've got. Learn how to make your business grow better at HubSpot.com. So the only thing that I want to challenge you on is, how is this a defensible business model? So how do you differentiate versus someone else who just listens to this and is like, I want to go into this now?
Yeah. So the competitive edge that we had is the brand.
Okay.
And so our Instagram account, and it's what we do best.
It takes back to why you're building a personal brand, why it's so important.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so the Instagram page that we have at Heike Cloud, it's verified on Instagram. So every single person who's entering the giveaway is able to go to that hosted page, show that we're legitimate. Also, we have over 1 million followers. You can scroll back all the way to 2018 showing our first giveaway campaign. Yeah. We've given away over $1.5 million just on that one Instagram page. $1.5 million like verified, given away in cash, prizes like PS5s and iMacs, and then also cars.
Very good. Okay. So when was this? This time period for the actual like the giveaway, that was sort of like the next version of the High Key agency. This was up until just recently, right? And then you started to go into NFTs. Is that correct?
So, giveaways started picking up, like for us, where we started doing our own giveaways in 2019.
Okay.
And then all the way up until now. And we're going to be doing giveaways for the rest of our lives, for sure.
And help me understand something else as well, because it's something that I was trying to figure out if I wanted to actually take part in a giveaway.
Yeah.
So how do I know which giveaways work for me? Meaning, if I go with like a Cardi B, for example, how do I know that her audience works with me? Versus if I went with like, obviously there's not a ton of like business influencers that are like a Cardi B or probably have that level of reach, but still that would be a better audience.
I know it's a really common question that we get with practically every single sponsor that we have that's like new to the giveaway space. And it's this comparison that's like best for it. Like, it's the only way to build scalable Instagram followers, only way on Instagram. So like if you're trying to grow your Instagram, this is the only way.
Give us, and, okay, give us, give me, give, uh-huh. give us, give those people listening numbers. So when you spend X amount of dollars, because I'm trying to compare it to other marketing. So if somebody was like, oh, I'm a marketer, I run, for example, maybe I run ads.
Yeah.
Try and get influence
to get followers.
To get followers, right? Yeah. So there's like a dollar per follower or whatever it is, or maybe $2 per follower. If you there's one book called I think A Million Followers where he tries to like run ads and like all these like other countries around the world that are like a lower CPM and he gets like 20 cents per follower or whatever. Yeah. So what's like the actual dollar value per follower?
Yeah, so we ran Facebook ads to get followers without a giveaway associated, just with like, for example, you like cutting up your content on your podcast, delivering it to an audience that you're looking for in the US, which was obviously be really targeted, and you'd be paying about like $2 to $3 per follower, but it'd be like really targeted business people, and it's not like inherently like extremely scalable, because $2 to $3 could fluctuate a ton, because there's no real way to like target for followers, and there's very like
and
if you think about yourself, like just scrolling through Instagram and stuff, like how often would you see a direct advertisement brought to you by Facebook to follow or like go to their page and follow?
It's weird. It's a so like Twitter does it, I think. Twitter actually has like a paid to follow, but Instagram you'd have to just run like a super compelling ad that would make somebody like want to, which is tough.
Exactly. And so you're paying like $2 to $3 practically minimum for a very targeted follower. And so like the negotiation and like the counter argument of the giveaways in terms of scalable growth is you're able to gain hundreds of thousands of followers on a monthly basis, and it's around 10 cents a follower.
Okay. So that starts to make
sense. So
even if some of them aren't your perfect audience, it still is incredibly cheap. So you're hoping that if like say 50% or even like less than that, if 50% of your target audience, then you have volume, which I guess helps with like your clout and just so like your social proof, because you have the volume there. But then maybe like 40 or 30% of them are actually like people that would buy your service or engage with your content or some shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of our clients are, especially of the giveaways, a lot of our clients of the giveaways are people who do high ticket sales. So for example, like we have a lot of plastic surgeon clients. We're like the number one plastic surgeons across the US, millions of followers. And the reason for that is it's just a numbers game. Like they do one plastic surgery and it's like $20,000. So for example, we have a Nicki Minaj giveaway coming up. It got postponed, but it's going live on Thursday, March 24th. And that's like around $10,000 to get in, or 10 cents per follower, a kind of 75,000 to 100,000 followers. So they're getting the plastic surgeons, and we have a ton on this giveaway list. It's 75,000 to 100,000 followers, and they just need to get one client out of 75,000 to 100,000 followers directly coming from Nicki Minaj, and they're in the profit. And so like those are like the ideal clients, and those are the clients that like are recurring, because they do make that and they consistently make that, and they buy into every single one of our giveaways because of that.
Okay, that starts to make sense.
Yeah. And then besides that, the people who other than those high ticket sales, a huge portion of clients specifically for the giveaways are people who are just trying to initially grow their brand. Like they have 1,000 followers and they need to get over like that 10,000 or 100,000 follower mark just for brand legitimacy. So like it's like they need to get over it for brand legitimacy. And then if they get sales on the back end from it, it's like a bonus. But
No, that's smart. It's an interesting strategy. Because I'm wrestling with the concept of doing it myself, and I'm trying to figure out, because I'm at like 840,000 or something, but I don't have a high ticket offer. So for me, it's like, when does this start actually like being like positive ROI for me? And I have to figure that.
You get up to 800?
It was just an insane amount of content.
Yeah.
So I'm like 3 to 4 pieces per day. Uh-huh. I ran ads, but they were very expensive. So I stopped. So it was just, I turned myself into a content marketing machine. And that was pretty much it. That was how I grew. And I've been doing that for a long time now. Uh-huh.
That's the ideal way. And it's either, time or money.
So I get also, I have an edge because I get celebrities on my page, right? So I get notable names, and I get, when somebody comes on the show that has, it could be, it doesn't matter how many followers, if I put that content out, then they're reposting it against their audience. So I'm getting access to some celebrities' audiences already that normally most people can't get tagged and be reposted on whoever's audience, right? Like, it doesn't really happen for most people. It's half the reason why I love podcasts as a content marketing thing, because it works, right? You put out a piece and you tag the person who you interviewed, and they either will actually ask you for that piece and post it on their channel in like an actual in-feed post, or they'll just they'll put it onto stories, and then that's across all their social. So I could, like, you know, you tag them on Twitter, they'll retweet it. You put them on LinkedIn, they'll repost or reshare it on their timeline.
And it's a great pitch. Like, you're going up to them giving value, basically. Well,
not only am I saying you're getting access to the audience that I have, I'm also saying that I'm going to basically be like an outsourced content marketing team for you with all the stuff we put together. So I'm going to get, like, out of this, probably like 30 different clips.
So sick.
Yeah, exactly. So my editor's going to, like, edit it all out. We're going to timestamp all the different questions that I asked. And each one of those is going to be like, you know, either like 45 second to like 2 minute clip.
Yeah.
And that's going to be like 30 pieces of content that person can use on their website. They can use on your Instagram. You can use it forever. It doesn't matter. I don't even care if I'm in it. Usually they include me in it. But like at the end of the day, like if I keep doing that as a service, it's zero extra effort to me because I'm already doing it for my own channel.
Yeah.
But also it's going to get me exposure to their audience.
So,
but no. I mean, that's like very different than what most people have access to. Most people don't have that access unless you start a podcast, and you do have incredible people that come on the show. Most people don't just get retweeted or like or shared to a story of a celebrity, right? So, but that's
unless you pay them
exactly. That's that. But that was like my marketing mind at work when I'm like, how do I grow my own personal brand? It's like I need people who are like super impressive to talk about me, and this is how I'm doing it.
It's so dope.
Yeah, 100%. But the strategy makes a lot of sense, and the cost per follower is like incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
It's super, super cheap.
It doesn't get any cheaper.
So when I ran ads, for followers, I would run ads like anywhere like outside of North America. In North America, so most expensive market on ads like US, it's like $2 to $3 a follower. Canada, Australia is like maybe $1 a follower.
Yeah.
And then like Philippines, Pakistan, anything outside of that is like between 20 to 50 cents a follower.
Still,
like,
they're very
not targeted
expensive.
Either.
Yeah.
They're still not, like, you can target a little bit. You could target like their interests and their language and whatnot, but it's still, the cost is still expensive. So it's like, if I could get 10,000 followers from Nicki Minaj, that's probably still more targeted than if I'm running a campaign and targeting some country in the world that's outside the US, going to be like 20 to 30 cents per follower, but it's still like not easy to do.
Exactly.
Because there's no direct ad set that you can run. It will push people to directly follow you. It has to be like a choice on their behalf. So the ad has to be super fucking compelling to make sure that they actually do that.
Yeah, and you got to run like an engagement campaign.
Well, you just try. And forget about the testing phase, which also is just super expensive, where you test like the creative and the copy and the targeting, and you make sure that all that resonates. So yeah, it's smart, very smart. Okay, so this is what. Okay, so this is, and you've run these on yourself, I'm assuming as well. Like
we put ourselves in every single giveaway. Yeah. That's how we ran. That's how we got from the 1,000 followers that we were at to over 1 million followers.
Okay, so talk to me about community building, and why I say that is because that's what you're doing now. So when I look at your brand, I see you as a great community builder. I see you as all the stuff you put out, the parties that you hold, the NFT that you dropped. All that seems to be. I don't know if you did this purposefully, but it seems to be about community building, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to basically make that business take off. So did you do this purposefully when you wanted to drop an NFT? Were you like, I want to create community, I want to create access, I want to create events? Or was that something that you almost did just because you enjoyed doing that? Like, you seem to like love partying and shit. So it was like, I want to create a project that sort of like helps me like sort of double down on what my brand is already about.
Yeah, so for NFT projects specifically, it's 100% about community.
Yeah.
The entire NFT community is like, each project is like how valuable you can build a community and like how much value you can bring to that community. It's with every single like top project, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is like one of the top NFT projects like out there, is what it is because of the community that they built. It's like amongst celeb owners and very, very rich people that people want to buy into it solely to get into that community and get access into that community. And so like, yeah, that was like top of mind in terms of what we were doing with like, so our NFT project, it's called like Fraternity Apes Party, Frat Apes.
Yeah, I saw this shirt.
Yeah, and so we were waiting to launch an NFT project because we wanted a utility component to the project. And because we're in a landscape now where only NFTs succeed if they have a utility aspect.
So for a long time, there was like there was like hype at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you see like even like the search terms on Google, like they're drastically declining. So yeah. We were talking before about like all the crypto projects that failed. There was no business fundamentals, no utility. So now when you launch something, like you have to figure that out. So how did you figure out utility? How were you like, this is how I want to create utility for Fraternity Apes?
Yeah. So it came because back in 2021, we got the opportunity to throw a massive party because we had a sponsor. We had some of our clients in Miami at the time, and it just lined up where we were doing two giveaway campaigns back to back. We were filming with Rick Ross and we were filming with Lil Baby on the same weekend. And so we were like on top of the world, and we were like, let's do a crazy party. Let's do a crazy event. And so we set some things up, and we had a yacht event at the start. And then a yacht event at the start where we tied up three yachts together, three 75-foot yachts. And then we went to a mansion the next day and threw a crazy mansion party. And we were able to do that because one of our clients, who's like such a good friend, and like we do tons of investing with him, like in real estate, his name's Robbie Clark. This guy's a savage. I was talking to you about him too.
I saw, so I'm supposed to do a show with him too or something.
I'll line that up. Okay, if cool. You want, and he's great. He owns like 300 million plus in real estate right now in Canada. We're trying to bring it up to a billion by the end of this year. And so he helped us out with sponsoring the entire event, the first event. And we thought that would be cool because we had the opportunity where it was over a huge event. It was the Floyd Mayweather and Logan fight, and so everybody was in Miami.
Yeah.
And so we were able to reach out to all of our celeb friends, all of our influencers, and be like, yo, we're throwing these crazy parties, like come through if you're okay to post on your Instagram and stuff, and like want to do anything. And so on the yacht, we had like Little Baby and Blueface were there, and we had a great time. And then at the mansion, it was Blueface came to perform, Rich the Kid came to perform, and then like a bunch of like random celebs.
This
showed
is just
up.
Because this is because you've been doing this and you've been like building out these connections and this network for all the actual work that you're doing with High Key previous to the NFT launch.
Exactly. It was it was the accumulation of all the connections that we built up.
That's smart. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's very smart. See, you know what? There's something to be said. Like, this is like, you know, you did it one way to build this incredible network, and look at what that allows you to do.
Yeah.
That's an awesome network to have when you want to do anything. Now you have this like group of celebrities you can tap into. The same shit with like actually building a podcast. Like
literally
you have to find ways to like orchestrate like connections. So like, how do you orchestrate connections? Well, these people that are operating at this level, like a celebrity or like some like an incredible business person who's achieved so much success, like you have to provide value to them in some way. And like, if you want to like, I don't know, like hockey stick growth curve, like exponentially grow your career, like find a way to provide value for like the most influential people in the world. And like, you'll find yourself in a pretty damn good spot. But it's like, I think that you have to think like that when you're trying to build a brand, start a side hustle. Like, how do you not just cater to like the average client, but how do you cater to the people that are the most successful at what they're doing? Because there's more than just closing a client. You want a client with a network, with relationships, like with things that can provide like ancillary value outside of just like the retainer or the dollars that they're paying you.
100%. Yeah, there's been clients that like over the years, I've done so much free work without taking a single dollar, because I know that just building the relationship and having that relationship there, like with them referring over clients or like just talking about us to like a high level group of people, and then like the business that brings in the long term is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like in reality, like the time that we've been in the business space has been very, very small compared to our entire time horizon. And so like, if I can already see a justification of like building relationships and like what that does in terms of like revenue and bringing in like natural business and bringing business like from friends and stuff, it's the way to win in the long term.
100%. Uh-huh. Okay so NFT project, understand utility. So what is the utility that comes from Fraternity Apes?
And also
why did you go into NFTs? So why do you believe in Web3, NFTs, crypto, all that?
Yeah, so with the NFT spaces, we were heavily in the crypto space already. So like when we got into NFTs, we had about 90% of our net worth in crypto.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't fucking diversify. Like, you're all in. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude.
I have net worth in crypto, but not 90%.
We're so young that like I always...
Your risk is like...
Yeah. Like I've thought about everything. Like when we first started up our business in, when I was like 18 and like all my friends were going to college out of high school and like I already had the business, is I'm like, damn, like I could fail miserably, like absolutely miserably till 25. And as long as I had a ton of knowledge, like real world applicable knowledge from it by just like grinding and like learning about it, I could fail miserably, go bankrupt. 25, I would be more set than the people who went to college for business.
100% agree with that. So we could have a whole conversation about why traditional schooling is not setting people up to where they need to be.
Yeah. And so that was my mindset of that, where like I could just miserably fail. And so like that was the same mindset with like, I'm going all in and risking everything if I see a huge opportunity, because I still have that time horizon. Like I'm 22 right now. And so I could still miserably fail for, I could still miserably fail for like 4 years. And like, we're at a point with our business where it's like, it's not possible to fail. Like we have things set up where we have so many streams of income that are coming in. So it's set where like, even with our investments, like with crypto could go a zero, which like is impossible, but like crypto could go a zero theoretically. And we would still be good with like our revenue and stuff. So that's how I see it.
Even when you went into crypto, like I found you on BitCloud, like you were figuring out, like you were figuring out like the intersection of like crypto plus social. You're putting out like a ton of like memes on crypto as well, like, and it was just like you just like dive into new stuff like really effectively. I think that's probably always been, I don't even know if you're like aware of this, but I think that's how you've always succeeded. You just dive headfirst into shit without like second guessing it.
I wasn't even thinking,
and like
about
not
that.
Even like, and not even like, not even stressing about it. Like you just like, who starts like mastering BitCloud through like crypto memes, and you built out like a huge brand there. Like it's just jumping into stuff before you're ready, before there's a playbook for it. That's literally been everything you've done.
Yeah. And for anybody who's listening who doesn't know about BitCloud, it was previously BitCloud, which was like back in March 2021.
Oh, geez,
and then it switched to DSO because they went through a rebrand because they had a ton of like really bad stuff that came out right at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
But now it stands for Decentralized Social Media, which is way better. It's literally on Coinbase now, DSO. Money sign DSO. Yeah. And then they did that because people conceptualize BitCloud as just a one application like Instagram, where it was like competing with like Twitter. So it was like the decentralized version of Twitter and was competing with it. But they switched it to DSO because it's a layer one blockchain that decentralized social media platforms can build on top of.
And you're going
to
build applications on that. Okay.
Exactly. And there's already tons of applications built on it. It's nowhere near where where we believe that's going to be. And like, we know the people who created it, who founded it, and we're heavy believers just in the aspect of decentralized social media so much. Like we've been headfirst in social media for the past 6 years, six, 7 years. And we think that decentralized social media is the next step, even though it might not be here yet. Like we know that that's 100% the next step. And giving people ownership back in their content, giving people ownership of the platform, giving people control of like no advertisements being on the platform, like so many different aspects of like being able to invest into people's, the craziest thing in our mind is being able to invest into profiles.
Yeah.
So it's like brings a gambling component. It brings a component of like long-term value, like being like, for example, like you being on like a platform that's on DSO, and like, I'm like, I'm just on this podcast. I'm like, damn, like I really believe in this podcast. And like, this is like fast forward to the future when DSO is like the main thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I really believe in this. I'm going to put money into your social,
this podcast,
into your social profile.
Yeah.
And because I believe in it, and passive income being made just by you delivering.
Well, that's the thing about like with NFTs, with DSO, and even like the first version of BitCloud is about like, how do you unlock all these opportunities for creators? How do you unlock? Because for the longest time, creators were getting screwed by social because they were social is making so much money off of the eyeballs that were looking at these creators. And like, yeah, maybe YouTube pays them a little bit. But outside of that, creators really get screwed. So this is like, you give creators the opportunity to not only do incredible work, but now actually get paid for it.
Exactly.
And people can actually put their dollars where they want to put their dollars versus putting, you know, their dollars towards like, you know, Google or Facebook or whatever it is, right? So very cool. Okay, so that's why you're doubling down on NFTs. You started your own project. So talk to me about Fraternity Apes. What is it? What are you trying to do with it? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the community you're trying to build?
For sure. Yeah. So we started Fraternity Apes, like building it out in 2021. So we were already heavily invested in the crypto space, already doubled down on like DSO, which is decentralized social media. And we were like, now it's time to launch our own NFT project, especially during this time. We've also done marketing for other NFT projects. Mm-hmm. And so like we showed our capabilities of what we could do with like building communities, building a Twitter audience, building a Discord audience, building these massive projects that like a majority of them sold out, and some did well, some didn't. And so that's what we had like as like our backbone. And then we were thinking about like different utility aspects that we had. And it was just like all the value propositions that we had. So basically we could give people access to celebrity events that we had in the future, because like we throw them at massive mansions. And so there's more than enough room, and everybody wants to meet a celebrity and talk with a celebrity at mansion. And so we give access to celebrity parties. That's what one thing we thought about hosting Zoom meetings and masterminds and Discord AMAs, basically like huge meetings with like holders where we could express like different things about how to grow a business, all the mistakes that we made, and then do interactive AMAs, which are like ask me anythings, where people could ask about like their problems and anything that they're struggling with in business. Just like how we made the backpack mistake, who knows, one of our holders could be coming onto one of those stages and asking me about a specific situation. I say one thing that changes their entire trajectory. Yeah. And so that's another thing, offering consulting and that, and then building an extremely, extremely strong community, and like all the things that are going to come from in the future. Like they get access. So all of our holders get access to our entire brand. And so like whenever we partner up with a new celebrity, like we're partnering up with Nicki Minaj, that's going live in a couple of days, partnering up with Cardi B next month, that's in direct association, because we're High Key's the backbone of Fraternity Apes.
Is it hard to like, now that NFT, so there was like kind of like a hype around NFTs. You had like stuff like Beeple selling stuff for like X millions of dollars. Crazy. Like just insane. Mm. Now that it started to decline, do you have problems marketing NFT projects? Do you feel like you have to like regain trust in people, or are people still on that bandwagon?
For sure, people are very skeptical about projects, especially like whales and stuff, and you have to really win them over. And they usually don't see it, don't believe it until they see it, type of thing. And so like that's what happened with our project too. Like it didn't go as successful as like we hoped for, but like we're going to be winning over people in the long term. Just like how some projects just like spurred up and like either like don't sell out, or like sell out very fast and then drop in value a ton. Like people are going to be seeing like the value that we constantly deliver over the long term, and then get into it after they see that.
And where do you think so NFTs went up, went down. Where do you think the actual like future of NFTs are going to rest in terms of like community, creator economy? What purpose do you think they're going to serve?
So the basis of NFTs is like basically the thing that's behind it is the smart contract. Yeah. Where like it's a digital contract that auto fulfills, and it's coded into the contract that it auto fulfills on a specific certain requirements. And so I think that smart contracts are going to be everywhere in the future. And it might be Ethereum, it might be a different blockchain. Ethereum has a ton of kinks that they need to figure out to be able to lower gas fees and all of that. But I think that smart contracts will be everywhere and used amongst all things. Like the most major thing and industry that'll break through is into real estate. And yeah, like there's tons of barriers they'll have to go through. And like in crypto time, it's going to be like so long, and it could be like 5 years, it could be 10 years, but it will come where, where people will be able to in China buy a piece of land in Canada
without a lawyer or anything like that,
through a smart contract. Yeah. And like, if you're in the NFT space and if you bought NFTs before, you can see like how unbelievably easy it is. If you understand crypto and understand like the basics of crypto, it is very easy. And like the thought of that being in a physical realm of like, say, real estate is really cool, because like I've been in real estate investing as well. And the amount of paperwork and the amount of lawyers, the amount of fees that go on with that is disgusting. It like makes my stomach turn on in terms of how much time and money that goes into it. And so like if that could be saved, that could be Yeah, that could be revolutionary.
I agree. I think it's a matter of trust and time, because crypto is not new. It's just a matter of getting people to build out utility and to build out mechanisms that make it more easy than dealing with a lawyer or dealing with an intermediary, right? Like, I think that's just, I think it's going to be a long game for crypto. But I think that if you start building out projects that actually provide utility, like what you're doing right now, and then people start to see projects where they're like, I want to get into this. I don't just want to buy in for the investment opportunity. I want to buy in for the actual utility. And then it's going to, and then that's going to create some sort of, some trust in the industry. Because for a long time, people created projects and businesses without utility. And that's what screwed over all the trust.
For sure.
Okay. Okay. So where do you want to take this next? Like, what do you want to go into now? I want to do, we've been doing this for about an hour and a bit now.
Been over an hour?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, this has been sick.
I want to do a couple. I always do rapid fire at the end to close these out too. But what's next for you? Like, what's next for High Key? What's your goal in the next 3-5 years? What do you want to accomplish?
Yeah. So next 3-5 years is, we really think that in the next 3-5 years, DSO in particular is going to take off. Mm. And if it takes off, we'll be billionaires. The amount of money that we have invested in that and the percentage ownership that we have in that. So anybody listening to this in 3-5 years?
Let's pray at this ages well.
Yeah. We put a lot of eggs in that basket. Yeah. Let's hope it ages well. Yeah. And so that's one thing that we heavily believe in. We're working on, but it's not distracting us from our main businesses and our main source of income currently. Over the next 3-5 years, we want to be doing giveaways.
Yeah,
for sure. It might change platforms. Like, Instagram is lessening in terms of the value that's coming through it. And so it might change to another platform. If our clients are more interested in TikTok, it might change that. Giveaways will always stay a thing. We want to be investing more money into crypto, all of our profits.
What do you go, what is outside of obviously your own NFT project, but what are the ones that you look at right now?
Yeah. We mainly store all of our money into Bitcoin, Ethereum, into the main ones, outside of projects that we go heavy into, like DSO and our own NFT project. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
When it's all said and done, in 150 years from now, when you're dead and gone, what do you want people to say about you? How do you want to be remembered?
Man, I've never even thought about that, just because of how young I am. Because
I know. I usually interview people that are three times your age, man.
I honestly don't really care. I'm just trying to have I've thought about this, and I don't really care how people think about me when I'm gone, because I'm gone. This gets into a huge other topic about what you think happens after life, religious beliefs and stuff. But I mainly just want to have a damn good time while I'm here. I want to constantly be lessening my stress. I want to be improving myself, and I just want to do good and make sure I'm building relationships and having fun time with good people.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. Let's do a couple rapid fire. First thing that I'm just curious about, I don't always ask everyone this, but how's it working with your brothers? Benefits, drawbacks, working with your family?
So sick. The number one thing is that it's...
I feel kick him out of the room so you get an honest answer?
Yeah, my little brother's in the room right now. But the number one thing for sure, and it's always been it, I've been in business with my little brother for 2.5 years now, with my older brother for 6 to 7 years since we started. The number one thing is trust. And we've been through two business partnership breakups for people who are outside of the brotherhood. Yeah. And now it's just the brothers that own High Key. We're the only percentage owners of High Key, and it's the trust thing. It's that you trust them with everything, and there's nothing that could come in between us. And that's different for some families, but we've been through a lot of hardship when we were younger, and we fought through it together, and we've gone through that. And so that made us pretty strong together. Some drawbacks are the communication aspect to it, and a personal relationship. I find this all the time. I talked about how I have a horrible communication problem, but we rarely talk about anything personal, nothing personal. Yeah. And it just gets to that point, because we're talking about things that are $100,000 topics. And so we see it as it just gets complicated that way. And so we're going to have to work on that over time. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Uh-huh. I've never worked with my brother on anything, but
yeah, I can see how that is. Your brother tough. In business?
He's going into law. He's going to law. So he's younger than me. He's, yeah. So he's 25. So eventually he will be.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for him to write out law school, then I'll hire him for something.
I'm as a lawyer.
Yeah. In-house yeah, lawyer. Exactly. 100%. If your own family yeah. can't represent you, what are they good for, right? Okay. So any regrets or biggest failures that you've had in your career?
Dude, not a single regret. And that's like the number one thing that I like, I'm pushing for, like in every single goal that I set. And the reason we threw the parties, the reason we start up an NFT project, even though it's an NFT bear market right now, is because I don't want to have a single regret in my life. I don't want to be at 80, 90 years old, yeah. looking back on my life and being like, damn, I regret doing that. And like, I knew I would have regretted not launching our own NFT project if we did that. And tons of other things. I knew I would regret not going all in on DSO, no matter how it plays out. I'm fine with losing that money. If
it's, you have convictions on this. You have incredible convictions yeah. on how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, you know what though? Like, you have to have that
yeah.
uh-huh. to be successful.
Yeah.
You're doing it in a very new industry, but anybody who's had success in anything, they always go like triple down on ideas that everybody else thinks is a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it's DSO, if it's like, if it's your own company, you're starting from the ground, it doesn't, in any industry, like you have to be like a little bit like obsessed,
insane. Yeah. 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 Oh, you should see my older brother. It's only thing he talks about is DSO.
Good. No, that's probably why you're going to be successful yeah, at it. Like, yeah. obviously, you're riding industry waves, which is outside of your control. But like, if industry goes well, you're going to be at the forefront of that, yeah. right? One person who's had a major impact on you. There's obviously been many, but pick one. Who yeah. was that? What they teach you?
Stefan Arnio. So
yeah.
he was the person who was our first business partner, and he taught me a lot of what I know today. Even though he didn't necessarily bring a huge amount of value to High Key Agency, like he brought a lot of value up front and then he had to focus on his other business. But I was always with him, and like I was with him on a daily basis, and he became my like best friend. And I was with him so much. He taught me sales, negotiation. He taught me hiring techniques,
everything,
management techniques, yeah. a lot of stuff where like I could come up to him with a ton of different questions, and he would always either have the answer or like give me thought-provoking questions to
challenge
about.
You on stuff.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because like he actually passed away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm yeah sorry. Yeah, he passed away. He had cancer, and very young age. He was like 32, and so that was really hard for me because like he was by far, like other than my brothers, like by far my best friend at the time. I hung out with him like every single day, called him, and he taught me. Yeah, he was definitely, yeah. So tribute to Stefan Arnio for okay. this
well,
one.
I'm glad you mentioned that's sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A book, podcast, something that's impacted you.
Think and Grow Rich, 100%. I read that book, and I did so much crazy stuff after that in terms of like, I did a dream board where like, I always go like bigger, go home strategy. So yeah. like I created a visualization of everything that I wanted in the future, like for the next like 10 to 25 years. And then I got, I paid one of my buddies, who's a friend of mine, $1,000. And he painted an 8x4 foot, like mural of it basically. Wow. And then like, I got that on my computer screen. I have it written on my phone and stuff. And like Think and Grow Rich, like really breaks down about like visualizing and breaking down your goals and like your ambitions, and really unreal, literally teaches you how to do goal setting in
yeah,
the book.
No, it is a good book. I've heard a couple people recommend that as well.
Yeah.
If you, the question I always ask, but this is irrelevant to you, so we're going to take it back a little bit younger. The question is, if you could tell your 20-year-old self one thing, but I mean, like, that doesn't apply. So like, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would that be?
It would probably be something around, the backpack mistake that we did. So it'd be like something around like, don't be greedy. Always do product market research before launching something new. I'd say those two things.
Yeah. Good lessons.
But like, I say that as lessons, but like, and this is why I don't regret anything, is because like, if that backpack mistake never happened, we would potentially still been selling products up 100%. Until this day.
And everything so, like, happens for a reason,
yeah. Man. And so that was the sole reason that backpack mistake and us going in debt was the sole reason why I had the luxury of no other opportunities, no other options, but besides do anything possible to get that money back, which ended up us going into an agency, which became like very successful and like thankfully like able to come out of the dirt, stop doing the e-commerce. So yeah, that's why I don't live a.
So lessons learned, but ultimately everything also happens for a reason.
Exactly.
And the key takeaway is that, you know, if something screws up, like it's only really a screw up if you don't learn from it.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously you did and you improved and you're good.
Yeah.
And then last question, what does success mean to you?
Well, that's a good question. Success. I don't think that I'm successful right now. And I think success means to me is because success is like a couple of different things for me. It's getting to a level of where you never think about money anymore. And so like the level where you swipe your credit card at anything and you literally do not think about it. And so like that's with anything that you buy, any dinner that you go to, no matter how bougie it is, and swiping the card and not even thinking about it. So that's one level. And then there's the happiness level, which I do think I'm successful in because like I'm an all around happy person. I've always been like very happy. Even when we were in the dirt, I was happy. And so that's one aspect, happiness, the money, and then also no stress. And so like that's one thing that I'm constantly working on because I definitely have stress and everybody has a certain level
of stress. You're a high performer though. So how do you get rid of stress? That's almost impossible.
Yeah, but like, It's true. It's impossible to get rid of completely of stress. And like, you probably have tons of stress 100%. Too. Yeah.
Because you want to, because like, even if say you had like literally unlimited money and say you had like all the happiness in the world, I think that that's a tough thing to get rid of because that's more of a, am I trying to always push myself to be better? And if you do believe you can always be better, which most high performing people do believe, I don't know how you wouldn't have any stress. You can almost just like learn to accept that you are on a journey versus like trying to ever hit like the end result.
And that's exactly what I was going to get into is that it's not about taking away the stress. It's about getting better at handling the stress. Mm. And like, I've heard tons of people talk about this, like tons of very, very high level people about like the stress never goes away. The stress constantly keeps increasing. It's just how about you handle it, how well you handle it.
Yeah.
And so like, that's the aspect of it about being able to handle the stress of like higher level problems and then like constantly gain to that.
Very smart. Okay. Yeah. And then most importantly, where do people connect with you? What all the social website, all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody can connect with me through Instagram, mainly at Luke Lintz, LukeLintz. Check us out on DSO. Check out DSO. I would do some research on that. Check out our NFT project, Fraternity Apes Party. I guess those links will probably be in the bio.
Yeah. You got. I'll do anything you want to link. We'll do Fraternity Apes. We'll do all the social in the show notes.
Cool. I appreciate you having me on, man.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.